माधव कुंज विहार
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Only Anna. The body is slowly come, slowly come.
Huh? Okay. Om ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्य नम जयवर्णोत्तम देवम सरस्वतीं व्यासं तदोपजयते नष्ट प्रयेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया श्लोक भक्ति भावती हायत्री त्वयी। नमो ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूतले श्रीमाते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गुरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चाचार्य सुतारिणे। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरी गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Whoops. Still. We ready now? Dharma hi atra artha kamo cha praja anada ananda amritam yasha loka Vishoka, Viraja, Yan, Na, Kevalena, Vidu, Dharmo Yatrartha Kamocha, Prajananda Mritam Yasha, Loka Vishoka Viraja, Yanna kevalino vidu. Dharma yata takamocha. Rajananda mishamusha. Any other ladies? Mataji's try? Dharma yaha rakaya. Dharma. Religious ritual. He certainly. Atra, here in this Grihastha Ashram or householder life. Artha, economic development. Kamal, sense gratification. Cha, and Praja Ananda, the pleasure of generations. Amritam, the results of sacrifice. Yasha, reputation. Lokaha, planetary systems. Vishoka, without limitation. Virajaha, without disease. Yan, which? Na, never. Kevalina, the transcendentalist. Vidu, no. Dharma yartha tekomo cha prajnananda mritta yasha loka vishoka viraja yanna kevalino vidu. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and purport. The woman continued, in this material world, a householder's life brings all kinds of happiness in religion, economic development, sense gratification, and the begetting of children, sons, and grandsons. After that, one may desire liberation as well as material reputation. The householder can appreciate the results of sacrifices, which enable him to gain promotion to superior planetary systems. All this material happiness is practically unknown to the transcendentalists. They cannot even imagine such happiness. Do we repeat the English? The woman continued, in this material world, a householder's life brings all kinds of happiness in religion, economic development, sense gratification, and the beginning of children, sons and grandsons. After that, one may desire liberation as well as material reputation. The householder can appreciate the results of sacrifices which enable him to gain promotion to superior planetary systems. All this material happiness is practically unknown to the transcendentalists. They cannot even imagine such happiness. Everyone is smiling. Yes, we cannot imagine the happiness. Those who are transcendentalists cannot imagine real happiness. Of course, this verse reminds us of the verse in the Bhagavad Gita where the daytime, what is daytime to the self-realized soul is night to those who are in material consciousness. And what is daytime for those in material consciousness is experienced like nighttime to those who are in self-realization. So let us read Srila Prabhupada's purport and try to understand it. According to Vedic instructions, there are two paths for human activities. One is called Pravritti Marg, and the other is called Nirvritti Marg. The basic principle for either of these paths is religious life. In animal life, there is only Pravritti Marg. Pravritti Marg means sense enjoyment, and the Nirvritti Marg means spiritual advancement.
in the life of animals and demons, there is no conception of Nirvritti Marg, nor is there any actual conception of Pravritti Marg. So I'll stop in the middle of this paragraph. So in the beginning of this paragraph, Srila Prabhupada explains that there is only Pravritti Marg and Nirvritti Marg. But now he clarifies that actually, for those who are acting like animals and demons, there is not even Pravritti Marg. So we are very much only in the beginning of the Kali Yuga, and Pravittam Nivrittam Cha Janana Vadur Asurha. We see that the asuric mentality is basically almost completely predominant, where even the remnants of Pravritti Marg or religion become so confused in people's minds that they can't even remember why they are following either the Vedas or their path of religion. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that prior to the World War II, which was everywhere, everyone got involved in this world war, all the continents, all six continents, but it very much influenced Europe, where hundreds of millions of people died one way or the other. That when the war was over, those who had been religious previous to that, mostly there were women left, and most of the men, large percentage of the men died. The people became atheistic very strongly, because the feeling was, we prayed to God, please send back my father, please send back my husband, please send back my son. And when they didn't come back, then people thought, oh, we pray to God and He has abandoned us. I have a personal experience that our family was not very religious, but in a way my father was deeply religious and I was very attached to my father. He had given me very subtle but very nice some spiritual instruction, even though externally he was not religious. And when he died, I was very much perplexed, because Krishna gave me a very special father, which he gave me some instructions which very much prepared me, although I didn't take advantage of it, of taking it, opportunity of meeting Srila Prabhupada. But when he died, I felt totally brokenhearted, and I thought, where is this God who is supposed to be kind? If there was one thing in my life that would have been the ultimate punishment, it was to take my father with me, from me. So I became agnostic at that point, thinking, it's not logical or intelligent to think there's no God. That's foolish. How one can say there's no God? But until I find out, I cannot believe that there is God, because God should be all compassion. So when Prabhupada gave that example, I could relate to that, that we pray to God for material things, Pravritti Marg. So Pravritti Marg is very dangerous, actually. Even the religious Pravritti Marg is very dangerous, because we pray, we go to God, just like in India, people go to the temples and they give some money. Actually, sometimes I've seen in temples, it's worse than giving money. I don't know if you've seen, they throw coins like this. You've seen in temples, they throw coins, sometimes hits the face of Lakshmi and Saraswati and Ganesh and Hanuman, or even Radha Krishna. They throw coins like, you know, they might as well better go start gambling casinos, replace the temples, because it would be a better mentality, throwing coins like this. God give me, God give me. I don't know if I told this story here. Sometimes you remember peculiar things. I was assigned by Srila Prabhupada to make light members. And I was in Delhi, going by bus all the time. And there is one place very near the All India Medical Institute. And Defense Colony was in the corner there. And there was one gentleman who I would go to him and just get a glass of water. But he had never became the life member. So he had a sign in his house, in his living room, which was also an office. He said, "Those who drink go to heaven." There's two parts to this, and it's relating to this pravritti mark. And it said, a person who commits no sin goes to heaven. A person who drinks goes to sleep. A person who sleeps commits no sin. People who drink go to heaven. This was the pravritti mark logic. So this man, I would come and, you know, humbly ask him again and again. I didn't mind because this is a little break for me, and it happened to be just on the corner. I'd wait a bus, and sometimes half an hour, so I'd go and get some shade the whole day without food and without water. So I'd get a glass of water, and I'd talk to him. He would discuss Gita. It wasn't that he was, you know, without that. So one day, he promised me. He said, "You know, I am going to do something. You've come so many times. I cannot disappoint you again. Next time you come, 100% guaranteed to become member." I said, "You know, you don't have to say. It's okay. You know, there's no force here." So I came, and he was very excited. You know how in India, you could be anything, they call you Swamiji, you know. So I came in, and he says, "Swamiji, I have such good news to you. Please sit down. I have such good news for you." He said, "You know, I've done it. I've given my donation to Krishna. Very large amount." I said, "Really? It's interesting." So he said, "You know, after you left, my business has not been good." He said, "I had to do something so that when you came again, that I could give you something for all your troubles." So I was listening, waiting to hear what his story would be. He says, "I went and bought a lottery ticket, and I won." He says, "The first prize was 12 lakhs, and the second prize was 6 lakhs, and I won. I won 6 lakhs. And he said, "And now I know that your Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So I'm thinking, you know, where is this going to go? So then, you know, we just listen and we find things interesting when you're preaching. He said, "Krishna knows my mentality. That if I got a hold of those 12 lakhs of rupees, that I would be thinking, oh, should I really give him? Should I really give him?" So Krishna, knowing my mentality, he took his half. He gave me second prize. I only won the 6 lakhs, and Krishna took the 6 lakhs. So this is pravritti marg. So what happens is, people are following the path of religion for some material expectation. We begin with dharma. Dharma produces what? What dharma? What is the result of dharma? Say aloud. Artha. So artha means what? Material necessities. So when you follow dharma, then you follow Krishna's way. Krishna says, "Krishi garaksh avanijam." These three things. This is your artha within dharma. And from that artha comes proper enjoyment of this material life in a way that has a tendency towards sattvika. So that kama is satisfying. You see, okay, I get so much and I can be happy. One of the first things my father taught me, he says that you should know that whatever you get in life is the grace of God. So that should be the religious viewpoint. I got something. It might be, you know, enough food for 60 days. It might be enough food for 6 years. But it's the grace of God. I worked hard. I've done intelligently. And I got so much. Either a business or whatever we got. So artha produces this kind of satisfaction with what we get. We're more easily satisfied. And at the end, because there's always material frustration, then one thinks, oh, what is the end of this? So one seeks a solution to the material frustration, moksha. And according to what one's situation is, what association one has had, how one has approached Dharma, then one will go different ideas of moksha. The modern idea of moksha, Christianity, is the same thing as the modern idea in so-called Hinduism. So-called Hinduism, they're also not even thinking of it anymore. Let me go to the heavenly planets and do what? To enjoy, without any limitations. That's the idea of moksha. That's what many people think is moksha. And same thing, people think about the kingdom of God is heaven. And heaven means the same thing, the heavenly planets where one can enjoy ideas, God is there, and we can enjoy our senses and do ballroom dancing and, you know, have 14 beautiful girls with us. This is all material concept of Dharma. And in the end, because it doesn't really produce that material happiness, there are some restrictions, so many restrictions are there. Then they ultimately think, well, let us get rid of these restrictions because they're... And then, because it's actually atheism in the beginning, but atheism with a little religiosity. Atheism means that I want to enjoy, separate from Krishna. This is atheism. Krishna is there in the beginning, then Krishna becomes my order. Krishna is there in the beginning, something like 50-50, right? At least 50-50, right? Prabhupada said 50-50 on the basis of Rupa Goswami. But people say, no, 90-10. 90 for Krishna, 90 for me, 10 for Krishna. Then they say, I can get away with 5. I can get away with 2. Oh, why God? You know, our government has given such a nice plan. Technology will employ the people, education. You know, why bother with Gurukul? Education. Education will give my children a future. So it's all based on the same misconception that is inherent as the defect in pravritti mark. So Prabhupada points out that actually most applications of pravritti mark are still simply based on this. So let me go on. Pravritti mark maintains that even though one has the propensity for sense gratification, he can gratify his senses according to the directions of the Vedic injunctions. For example, everyone has the propensity for sex life. But in demoniac civilization, sex is enjoyed without restriction. According to Vedic culture, sex is enjoyed under Vedic instructions. What is that verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Dharma? Say loud. Dharma aviruddha kamasmi. So Krishna says that the procreation of children, according to Vedic instructions, this is transcendental. You see, that this garbhadan samskar. And even before that, one should prepare lifetime for this garbhadan samskar. So that the children can be very nice children who will seek after the real purpose of human life and can be a good assistance in Srila Prabhupada's movement. According to Vedic culture, sex is enjoyed under Vedic instructions. Thus, the Vedas give direction to civilized human beings to enable them to satisfy their propensities for sense gratification. In the Nirvritti Marg, however, or on the path of transcendental realization, sex is completely forbidden. The social orders are divided into 4 parts: brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. And only in the householder life can the pravritti mark be encouraged or accepted according to Vedic instructions. In the order of brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyas, there are no facilities for sex. In this verse, the woman is advocating pravritti mark only and is discouraging the path of nirvritti mark. She clearly says that the yatis, the transcendentalists, who are concerned only with spiritual life, kaivalya, cannot imagine the happiness of pravritti mark. In other words, the man who follows the Vedic principles enjoys the materialistic way of life, not only for becoming happy in this life, but also in the next life by being promoted to the heavenly planets. In this life, such a person gets all kinds of material opulences, such as sons and grandsons, because he is always engaged in various religious functions.
the material distresses of birth, old age, disease, and death. But those who are interested in pravritti marg hold religious functions at such time of birth. So it's actually ironic, contradictory. Birth, death, disease, and old age, these are all times for lamentation about the material condition of life. But instead, they hold these functions as if these events are the source of happiness. What is it? What is it said in the Gita about Janamatu, Jara Vyadi? Dukkha Doshana Dashana. So we should see when we read, when we get the right interpretation of everything, when we get Krishna vision or Krishna Tattva Veti, then a person who sees birth, death, disease, old age, he sees them just as like red lights, warning signals. Red, yellow, blinking. Oh, be careful. Red light, yellow light, flash, birth, death, disease, old age. So the purpose of marriage used to be, of course, now it's all gone. The purpose of marriage was to have children. Without children, no one previously, even in the West, was imagining marriage. You know? You should get married, maybe get married early, even in the West. Sometimes they're getting married early, 10 years. Sometimes they're arranging the marriage, even in the West. Even in my childhood, I got the idea from the history of my culture. Oh, it's a good idea in childhood to figure out who you're going to get married. And the whole purpose of marriage is to have children. Shouldn't have children outside of marriage. It was considered very strange, you know. It was there, but still very strange. Now, get married, have no children, get married to the opposite sex, how can you have children? The whole thing is absurd. Have children and not get married. They have people who get married who can't have children. The gay, homosexual marriage. Impossible. So they adopt. And then they have people who have children, and the last thing they want to get is married, because marriage ultimately will bring divorce, and more people who are unmarried stay together than people who get married. You have a 70% chance of divorce if you get married. And if you have children and don't get married, you have a 70% chance of staying together. Kali Yuga. All crazy, crazy. So people celebrate these sources of misery. Without caring for the distresses of disease, birth, old age, and death, they are addicted to performing the special functions according to the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Factually, however, pravritti marg is based on sex life. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, verse 45, Yan matanadi griham eda sukham hi tucham. A householder who is too addicted to pravritti marg is actually called a grihamedi, not a grihasta. Although grihasta desires sense of gratification, he acts according to Vedic instructions. The grihamedi, however, who is interested only in sense gratification, does not follow any Vedic instruction. The grihamedi engages himself as an advocate of sex life and also allows his sons and daughters to engage in sex life to be deprived of any glorious end in life. A grihastha enjoys sex life in this life as well as in the next, but a grihamedi does not know what the next life is about because he is simply interested in sex in this life. On the whole, one who is too much inclined towards sex, he does not care about the transcendental spiritual life. In this age of Kali especially, Prabhupada says here, no one is interested in spiritual advancement. Even though it is sometimes found that one may be interested in spiritual advancement, he is most likely to accept a bogus method of spiritual life, being misguided by so many pretenders. So, reading the pages of these transcendental literatures are handed down to us and explained and illuminated by Srila Prabhupada, beginning with Bhagavad Gita as it is, and as we're presently reading this Srimad Bhagavad Purana. Vijam cha vijam yas tat vedo ubayam swaha. We should develop an understanding of two visions. The one vision is to understand how those who are materially entangled, enmeshed, even those who are in the beginning of spiritual pursuit, how they are interpreting what they are seeing around them. It says in the Bhagavad Gita that the senses, that matra sparsha sukanteya sitoshana sukudukada. So matra sparshas, inside this material machine, there is the soul, seated next to the soul, always, is Krishna. Krishna is actually guiding this body, and the soul, just like in a vehicle, with Krishna as the driver, just like Radha Patasarati, Krishna is the driver, so Krishna is the real driver of this body, because how complicated this body is, all the scientists in the world put together, they don't have 1/1,000,000th of an understanding, and they'll never have more than 1/1,000,000th of understanding. The infinite number of actions of this body in every millisecond. Whereas nimash is the smallest fraction of time. In every nimash, there is over 100 million transactions in this body that are very complicated, that no one could organize. And if those functions failed, immediately there would be death. So actually the body is dying every second. Every nimash, the body is practically dead. And Krishna, sitting as the super soul and as the Paramatma within every atom and within every cell and within every living entity within this body, he's keeping this body real life. Actually, the body is dead every second. So sometimes you survive that second, and sometimes we lose that second and we're brought to our next body. So actually, there's death every second. So Krishna seated there. But the soul is on this chariot and looking out through the mind, which gives the impression of what is we are seeing. So if we're in the dog's body, we're seeing the world in a very different way. When the dog is sitting here, he's seeing his idea of happiness, his idea of sense gratification. If it's an elephant, he's seeing his idea. If it's a mosquito, he's seeing his idea of the world around us. And each person, as Prabhupada explains, thinks that their intelligence is very good. He's got a kind of intelligence, and his mind and intelligence and identity are combined. And he's looking out through this subtle body, and the senses are touching the world. But when the dog senses touch the world, or the mosquito senses, or the frog senses, or, you know, even in human life, different people, they see the world in different ways. And then they see different types of happiness and different types of distress. They say one man's food is another man's poison. So one person is seeing this happiness, and another person is seeing this as distress. Like a child, they can't discriminate very well. And the child eats dirty things. And the parents have said, no, don't eat this, don't eat that. But you can't teach the dog, don't eat this, don't eat that. The dog will go on the street. They're called swavid, right? Because the dog and the pig, they'll eat any dirty thing. And in the beginning of human life, the child, he'll eat any dirty thing. But the pig and the dog, we can't move beyond this ability. And to him, when we go out in the village, I don't know, is still there? When you go in the village, the pigs are there still? I haven't been recently in the village. Still the pigs are there. I remember my first experience in village, you know, deep village. I was going out with the lota, you know. Everyone was going out with little lamps. Two hours before sunrise is the proper time. It was my habit anyway. I like to get up early. And then I hear the noise. I'd heard about it, but it's not quite. And they just can't wait for their breakfast, you know. They're squealing in enjoyment, you see. So that Atma, and our Atma, 100% identical in the pig's body and this human body. So when we see a Prabhu go out in the village, we don't go behind him. Oh, please finish quickly so I can enjoy. They're very polite, you know. They wait their time, you know. Sometimes you have to shell out them. Everyone would think we're crazy, you know. Where are you going? Oh, Prabhu is going out to the bathroom. I have to enjoy. You gone crazy. Cracked, you know. But it's actually not cracked. We are thinking, oh, I am a human being now,
And I know what real enjoyment is. I know what real enjoyment is. You know, my real enjoyment is this, 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 and this, and this. And you can give a whole list. But it's equally cracked, you see. Prabhupada says, we're all proud of our intelligence. What is that story of who was cursed to take the body of the pig? Indra. So Indra was cursed to take the body of the pig because of his offenses. And he is there, you know, first some conditioning is there. But finally, after the conditioning, he's thinking, oh, I have my wife, I have my children. Breakfast time, running out to the fields. Come, come, children, come, come, wife. It's breakfast time. And some nice sadhus are there. They have very nice, you know, breakfast for us. Because they're eating very nice Krishna prasadam. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Some nice food is visiting the village. We get very special. And then, you know, Brahma comes and says, look, you know, come on. We need to take you back. Whatever, I go back. I'm so happy here. You see. So the conditioning, we laugh at it. But it's actually the same. We are thinking, oh, we're very proud. So in this pravritti mark, which leads to atheism, people become very proud. You see pride and attachment, and that in more and more intense desire, the kama, that comes from adharma and accumulating anarthas, and then with those anarthas, more and more things. We start to think, I'm very more intelligent. Every person always thinks, I'm more intelligent than the other. Modern life, people, the government of India, and Indians in general, the educated class, the poor class, the zeal of 2020, the zeal of 2020. We are going to not only be equal to, but greater than, you know, the people we used to despise. We used to think that their civilization was horrible, that it led to sense, but no, we are going to surpass them, and we are going to have the highest sense gratification of any culture that ever existed. So this is the perversion of the intelligence that ultimately happens from the pravritti mark. It's a very dangerous path. Very dangerous path. But in this Kali Yuga, all the paths are dangerous. Sannyas, of course, is recommended. Brahmachari is the basis of proper sannyas. But brahmachari life, especially at present, where we're living in the cities, where we're inadvertently training our children to go into a system where the purpose of life is measured by how much we accrue. Is it not? What is the 2020 vision? Is that India will now actually make real progress. Because we will have progress equal to what the West has, and maybe more. And that progress is simply and wholly defined by how many special material things that we can possess. And the vision is a person who's living in a mud hut, whether it's one room or five rooms, that's not important. And his future is that his children will remain in the village and do such menial labor like farming and weaving and spinning as was traditional in India and the villages all over the world. This is perhaps the greatest misuse of the human talent. What is the message that's been given to India over the last 10 years? Over the last 20 years, but particularly 10 years by the new leadership of India, is that The greatest failing of human life is to misuse its hidden talents, to become all you can, but measured by how much you are making this material progress. Is it not? Is it true? Whereas they're looking down, oh, you see a person who's born in a village and he doesn't get any education to improve his material life. He doesn't go to the modern schooling, which means, what is modern schooling? What is modern education? Computer, but what is the purpose of modern education? To prepare you for what? To get a good job, to earn maximum, right? You know, to get job in a good company, you know. And the better the score, the better company you can get employed by, the better the school, the better the score. And it's not just, you know, it's the same system that the British introduced that Indians resisted really strongly. Most Indians would never send their children to the schools. Only when they wanted to get a chance where their children could get in the British Raj, you know, get to be a Raja under the British or get to a high position in the British, you know, monopoly and dictatorship of India. And he's called the father of India. He was very much opposed, Gandhi, to this modern system of education, which would just entrap people to despise this labor which was actually noble. You see. Of course, people should not be exploited, and that's one of the rationales of modern education. But people are also exploited. As time goes on, the rich become super rich, and you see that, like in America, the middle class is suffering like anything. And in India, you see the price of things have gone up so much that even the middle class, they have to think twice. Will they have as much vegetables as previously? No thought. I was in Udupi recently, and a man who retired from a bank, and he has sufficient money. He says, no, nowadays we don't make any sweets in our house. Too costly. The price of sugar is now 40 rupees. Actually, he could afford. But being conservative is thinking 40 rupees is too much for sugar. So 60 rupees for vegetables, too much. So we'll just eat rice and dal. But dal is so expensive now. So we'll just eat rice. We'll just eat broken rice. Who knows? You know? So even middle class, they're having problem, what to speak of the labor class. So despite this problem being seen in other places, where even the material happiness is not there, where is the material happiness in modern life? You see? Where is the material happiness? The more that people progress materially, the more that they go crazy. 97% of Americans have or are presently, at one time or other, had to take some sort of psychiatric treatment. Fully 60% of Americans are considered psychotic. So this is material progress, that you're so unhappy without medicines you cannot do. If you didn't keep them on medicines. In the childhood, in the second grade, they're examining children, should we put them on psychiatric drugs? They assume that they have psychiatric problems. And there's not much future. Everyone is in anxiety. Previously, what is the anxiety in the village? There are anxieties, but the anxieties are very small. You see? Because the whole system of Krishna's arrangement means that spiritual life is very easy to take to. If you want to train someone in brahmacharya, then you have to lay out a path in which the material anxieties will be very little. But if you say, okay, I'll train you in brahmacharya, then you toss them out into the modern material world and say, okay, now go get a job, then they'll curse you. Oh, you didn't prepare me for all of this. And then because they're suffering materially, then the tendency will be, okay, let me take a quick fix. Let me watch more TV, let me watch movies, and then from all of this, oh, let me get a nicer thing and nicer thing. And the nicer things, the more that you have, the more you become unhappy. Everyone knows this, no? But they think, okay, the previous people did not know how to do it, we'll know how to do it. One man went to the well and drank the water and got disease. I think, no, I'll drink the water and not get disease. Everyone got the disease. No? So the Krishna consciousness has the real fix. Akama, Savakama va. What is the next part? Moksha Kama. And then? Bhakti Yogena Tivrena. Right? Tivrena. So this Pravritti Mark, this Nivritti Mark, these are advice. But if we sidestep both sides of the argument, which will include the Nivritti Marg. If we follow the Nivritti Marg and the Pravritti Marg by putting the center of Krishna consciousness. Bhakti Yoga in a Tivrena. The process of Bhakti Yoga, especially the concentrated process, the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This burns all of these ignorances to ashes. We want the Krishna vision. When people present us this, we shouldn't be bewildered. Oh, people are saying material progress, material progress. We have discovered material progress. Who has discovered material progress? People have been trying material progress since the beginning of creation. it is said that the material time of this universe is approximately like 100 and how long is it? 100 and how many trillion years? 137 trillion years is this day, the life of Brahma, approximately. Something like that. So 137 trillion years, people are doing the same thing. The previous people, they were stupid. We all know how to make material progress so that we can be happy. And we never learn the lesson. In our lives, each every individual, we have sufficient lesson by the grace of Krishna. We just have to see it. We have to just be willing to see it. Everyone has sufficient experience of suffering in this life and sufficient example of suffering. There is no end. There's always the carrot at the end of the stick. There's always the Brahman. You engage in these things and you'll get material happiness, but it never happens. And the more we struggle, we run faster and the carrot runs faster. You see? They sometimes make the horse run by putting some food, you know, an apple or something. Oh, let it run. And it never gets there. So, the time should come. We should have learned our lesson. Okay, we have to do whatever we have to do in this life, but we should know that there is really only one purpose of this human life, to become Krishna conscious. And we're so lucky. There are so many ways to become Krishna conscious. So many ways. And out of all the ways that have ever been presented to become Krishna conscious, the most superior way, the most perfect way, the most foolproof way is chanting of this Maha Mantra. What opportunity we have to learn to appreciate it. And what foolish situation we're in, no matter how glorious it is, oh, I come from a very rich family, I'm very successful, I have 5,000 IQ, I have this and that and this and that, you know, I'm in India in 2011 and we're going to be the superpower, I'm in America and, you know, my grandparents had the biggest paper, or whatever, foolish, we should see all as foolishness. This is all simply foolishness. Taking the dead out of the ground and saying, be alive, and tying strings, is alive, you know? What is alive, you know? This material life is simply death. Every second since we're here, we've died several billions of times. It's an actual material fact. If the scientists actually use their brain, they would see, I've died so many billions of times, so what is life? You see? But they don't, they're bewildered, you see. They're under this illusion. And they want, they're praying to God. If they pray to God, let me be more bewildered. You see? That is more like my friend. He said, oh, Krishna is the most intelligent. He didn't get the right lesson. So any questions? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Prabhuji, you are nicely talking about Pravritti Marg.
Yes.
Restricted sense enjoyment. But in devotional circle, when we come across with this conception of Yukta Vairagya.
Yukta Vairagya, yes.
So then sometimes there is a little confusion among devotees. They do Pravritti Marga kind of thing and considering that as a Yukta Vairagya. So, if you can clearly define...
Pravritti Marg, as Prabhupada explains, if you wanna, it really has as its main motivation, its main goal is to continue this material enjoyment. So just like, you know, take India, or if you want Christianity in the Western world. Prabhupada said it was a good thing when people go to the church and they say, dear God, please give me this. But he gives another example that when the Russians, when the communists took over Russia, they said, okay, when there was some famine, they said, okay, here is your statue of Christ. You pray to Christ for bread. So they prayed to Christ for bread, you know. They, you know, the gun is there and they're also they're desperate. And there's no bread. He said, now you pray to our Stalin for bread. And the head would come up and bread loaves would come. You see? Just like, you know, India is falling for this stupid argument. Oh, you go to the scientists and they'll give you food.
will give you a higher, superior material enjoyment. What is the superior enjoyment in, I don't say it's my country, but for a second, I'll say my country, the United States. The unemployment is 12%, but unofficially it's much more. In the state of Tennessee, there's 27% unemployment. Detroit, which was the home of the motor car, Alfred Ford is from there, Ambarish. You know, so many wealthy people came out of. Now there's 28% in the city of Detroit. What is this this plan they're giving you? This plan ends in unemployment. It takes people who were previously employed. It just came in the papers in India. I actually wrote about it, and I sent a notice to so many of the Indian devotee leaders, and people are just like not paying attention. And I said, actually, at present in India, the current system of modern education is displacing 8 million farmers from farming every year. And people said, no, you're completely wrong. It's not so much, but it is a lot. And now it came in the paper, there's 12 million Indians being displaced from farming by the collective goal and the system of teaching children to be educated. The child who gets educated is not going to go and want to work as a cobbler or, you know, as a moochie or any of these jobs. They have a dream. Oh, my dream is I'll go to Bangalore and work in a call center to get IT and maybe go to America. You see, sometimes Indians come back to America, but there are 3 million Indians in America. And even if you give them really nice, there's 5 million Indians in England. There's 25 million Indians living abroad. And the percentage who are willing to come back to India, even with nice placement, only if they can't get a job there, then they think they have to come back. But if they could get an equal job there and here, even a little less, you know, standard of living there, they'd rather remain there. I don't want to analyze why, it's the fact. So here you're training people who will not want to work except in these kinds of jobs, and there is not sufficient jobs in the world. So where are you going? So going back to the point of Pravritti Marg, it is an illusion to say, I want to enjoy more in this material world. It's the purpose is that. It's taking dharma to create anartha. Because the real dharma creates artha. Artha means self-sufficient, a subsistence idea. I shouldn't strive to get too much more. What I need, a little bit more for emergency, a little bit more for giving charity, that's okay. But what I can live to keep, what is it, Prabhupada says, to keep the body and soul together. This is the result of the of dharma, the artha that comes of dharma. Previously, people all over the world, they're not very eager to have that much more. Religious families anywhere in the world, they consider it something wrong if the children are thinking, oh, I should have that much more. They say, no, no, you'll go astray. Your life will become spoiled. If you strive for this, it should be for some noble purpose. But Yukta Vairagya, the confusion is that in the real sense, what we're doing today has the tendency to pollute us. The current culture will pollute us. It will put us in harm's way. It will put us in the way of desire. Sex is just simply the manifestation of material desire, because it's the ultimate. But, you know, it means all types of material desires. Wanting this, wanting this, wanting that, never feeling happiness. You see. One should be trained in childhood to be happy with whatever comes, to see it as Krishna's grace. Krishna has given me this, that's very nice. Now, for doing something noble, without becoming entangled, I should do this. But look at the perfect example, the four Kumaras. They were given superpowers, right? They were supposed to be the first assistants of Brahma. And when Brahma asked them, now I've created you, will you do? No, Father. He said, we know it's irreligious, we know it's sinful, but we are so much afraid that if we do this material activity, even on Krishna's behalf, we will become entangled. We will become entangled. You see, so we should learn a lesson from them. You know, it's very dangerous. So on behalf of Krishna, we may do, but it's better to do it Krishna's way. So Krishna's way for material prosperity is what? Danyan, danavan. Gavyan, danavan. Keep the cows. But then you have to know how to keep the cow so that the cow creates prosperity. You have to know how to do agriculture so the agriculture creates prosperity. Real wealth means sufficient. You'll have gold, you'll have rubies, you'll have silk, you'll have so much to give away in charity. But people, you know, so far the ones who are coming forward to lead the farming movement in Srila Prabhupada's behalf, they're not creating that prosperity. So we have to re-examine that. But the truth is that Krishna has given a plan that will create great prosperity. Look at Nanda Maharaj. Of course, he's the father of Krishna. But still, he's setting the example. He became the king of the cowherd men. 700,000, 900,000 cows, two different descriptions, 900,000 cows. Right? And he has abundance. Do you see Nanda Maharaj going and getting donations? Oh, please help me to maintain my cow. You see? So you know something. I don't want to criticize the mentality of, you know, somebody. But that means that person should know how to keep the cow and create prosperity. So this is dharma. We follow Krishna's artha. And from Krishna's artha, then we can feel a kind of satiation. You know? So you have a nice wife. And you feel happiness, but not all the time with the wife, you know. See, now they put you alone in the city and you should be all the time with the wife and find happiness. So then you get bored and then sex has to be the only thing. And then sex is boring. So then we have to get a new washing machine and a new thing. And then that wife is boring. So then you get a new wife and that's also boring. And unhappiness and you cause a misery. And then the children, they create chaos, you know. So chaos, you know. Where 70% of children in America are raised without their father, their biological father. 70% divorce. So, you see, by entering in material satisfaction into marriage, the proof is, time and time again, it creates unhappiness. But if the principle is dharma, oh, you see, the man should be already know how to control his senses. And it's not that everybody, that 90% of the people who get married is because they can't control the senses. No, the best person controls the sense, the wife controls the senses, and they live compatibly but separate. I tell you one just experience about Indian culture, which you may or may not know. And if you just carry this with you, then it works with this Yukta Vairagya. I was first sent, I came to India with the United Nations. And I chose to live with the Adivasis. I was first with other Americans, and I chose not because I didn't like their approach. You know? So I chose to be completely alone. They sent me to live with the Adivasis. And though I had heard of this, I was really kind of delighted. I was living with the Adivasis, very remote place, you know. And the town, it was just like people living in, they sleep outside, you know. They have some mud hut to keep the few things that they had. There was very few things. But the men and women, they didn't sleep in the, there were a place for men and a place for women. And even these tribals, they're considered what? Andhra, Hirata, Kulinda. What is this in the Bhagavatam? Hira, Anada, Kulinda. These are the Andhras. I lived with the real Andhras. The original Andhras, the Koyas. And these are supposed to be the most primitive people, according to Bhagavatam. But here, the most primitive people, before marriage, you see, they're not dressed, you know. So they definitely know about life, you know. But they're never looking at the woman. If the woman stops on the road, the man turns and goes into the forest, keeps his back. Never did a man look at the woman's body. Never. Because I was observing them for 2 years. I was alone with them. Never the man is looking, you know. Something they might see, but they're not, and after marriage, the men and women not living. And when they want to have a child, then they go to the village council and they say, we want to have children. And they have their own rituals from the Vedas, but in their own tribal form. And they do these rituals. And then there's one building only used for this. The man and woman go there enough time to make one attempt. And then they leave. They don't sleep there at night. And then the men goes back. And the woman goes back and they see if they have a baby. And if there's no baby, then the next proper time, if the people say it's okay, then they go. So this was the lowest class in India, you know, 2 million years ago. And up to when I was there in 66 up to 68, even these, it was very common they could control their senses, you see. Never did they, you know, attempt this men and women combination. So you can say they were almost free of lust. Not completely, but almost free. They knew about it. They used to sing songs and joke about it, you know. it was really surprising to me, because after seeing this behavior, I thought maybe they're really totally like children. But they would sing about, you know, different things. I can't say, you know, in the temple. And I was thinking, wow, you know, they actually know, you know, because I thought they're totally like little children, you know. But they were. They didn't regard it very interesting, you know. You see? So with this kind of nice atmosphere, simple life atmosphere, then, you know, the lust becomes very little, you know. Like, say, you're in India, you know, and many of you maybe still, you know, had a simpler life, you know. But now, you know, it's, when I went to college, my experience, I was raised very simply. And they showed me some book, you know, some ladies in it. And I'm looking, and I'm saying, you know, I'm looking, and I couldn't figure out what was interesting. Not that I was pure, but I just couldn't figure out that that was interesting. And they said, oh, something weird about you. You're very abnormal. Now they would have thought I'm gay. I wasn't gay. But it just wasn't interesting to me, because I had lived a very sheltered life, you know. It's not that there weren't girls, but, you know, this is a Westerner living a simple life. What to speak of someone in the village and, you know, women, cows, you know, it's all the same, you know. You see cows, it's not very exciting, right? You see the women, it's not very exciting, right? You have to learn. So then I thought there's something abnormal with me, you know. So I thought I have to learn to become like them, you know, otherwise they're not socially. So this is like India, you know. You watch the movies, oh, we have to become like this. You know? So we have to learn lust. We have to train ourselves in lust. Let's learn lust. So modern college is an education in lust, is it not? You go to Manipal, biggest universities, they have the parties. Let us learn to be lusty, you know. Let us dress like this. Let us act like this. Let's show how we're modern. Modern means lusty. I'm the king of modern, I'm the most lusty. So Yukta Vairagya can also be dangerous. The best is to follow Krishna's marga all the way. The four things that Krishna prescribes for our activities, we should do them nicely. Then there's no Yukta Vairagya. When you farm for Krishna, there's no Yukta. You're already Krishna's farmer. Anyway, it's late, we should go. Thank you for tolerating my class. I've committed many offenses by sitting here to all of you, because you are all superior to me. I am born in a most malecha, unfortunate, but Krishna is taking care of us all. Just remember that in the course of this lecture, not because of me, but we've died 250 billion times. So Krishna's kind. So, oh, thank you for Krishna giving me life again, you see. Don't wait till you're very old. And then, oh, I can't do this anymore, I can't do that, you know. When you're young, you think it'll never end, you know. Now I'm thinking, you know, jara. What is jara and vyadi, you know, old age and sickness. Now I'm just thinking, oh, I never understood that verse. I'm just catching, what is jara, huh, Prabhu? You're getting a little jara? When you're young, you think it'll never end. And so I can waste a little time, you know. Because when I'm old, then what does Prahlad Maharaj says? He says, when you're very young, let me play. When you're in the youth, I have business for my family. When you're old, oh, too tired to do that now, Prahlad. Too tired. My body aches. To do those austerities, too difficult. 1 hour, half hour devotional service, oh, let me sleep now. Right? We see, oh, it's too difficult. Hard work for Krishna. So when we have it, we should use it all. That's Yukta. Good example of Yukta. Okay. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Ram Ram. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. There's a good point, though.